So, yeah, last week we were going over, what were we going over last week? Sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, right? And obviously we have a second session by Pastor Alex, but he's in the retreat. He said he was willing to come down, but like, there's no need for that, right? And then he has to go up after Sunday school. So I said, well, that's okay. Let's go back to Jehovah Jireh. I didn't get to finish last time. Pastor James asked a question, and we had a good discussion, but that took up the rest of the time. So, start my video. Sorry. Okay, there you go. So I figured, okay, then I guess we have more to talk about with Jehovah Jireh. Right? Let's just get into it right now. Last time we left off with that, right here, that the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I never seen it translated where he will be seen or that he will see. And I think the translators have good reason to do that, because what he's really trying to convey is that, well, Isaac was brought up to the mountain to be sacrificed, right? And then the Lord provided a lamb or a ram to be sacrificed. But the actual word is that the Lord is revealed, or the Lord is to be seen. And I wonder, and I kept on thinking of why they would make that jump to the Lord will provide, and why the original meaning is he will be seen. So I kind of wanted to stay in that space of trying to figure out why is it that on that mountain the Lord will be seen, and how is that connected with Jehovah Jireh as we know it, that the Lord will provide. Okay. And here's the question that I have. And maybe we can, you know, go into small groups. We don't have a large group today, so maybe online can be all in one group, and then there could be two groups here. The question is, what do you say when others ask these questions? I don't know if, I think this is common. I've gotten these questions many times. What do you say when people say, how do you know God? Since presumably they're not Christians, or maybe, and they come and ask you, you've been a Christian for so many years. They say, hey, how do you know God? Have you seen him? Have you talked to God? What do you say? What's your usual answer? No, I haven't seen God. No, I haven't talked to God. But I know God. You know, I don't know. I have had many different answers throughout my journey. So what is your answer? Break up into small groups for like 5-6 minutes and see, like, how do you answer? It's okay, because we're all in different places. So your answers can be very honest. It's okay, right? So what do you say when people ask you, hey, have you seen God? Have you seen him? Have you talked to him? How do you know him? Okay, welcome back, everyone. Okay.
For years, you tried to pass on that baby.
It's good.
All right. What did you guys think? What did you guys say? maybe we'll start with this group.
Well, we all kind of also associated with how would we explain that to a kid.
Oh, okay. How do you explain that to a kid?
I mean, I mentioned nature, like in the window, you see the sunshine, he's not provided that. Izzy specifically asked.
Yeah, Izzy has asked me that, like very similar questions. She does ask me quite often, like, how do you actually?
Yeah, that's right. Izzy's the girl. She's asking, yes.
Yeah, so I would tell her, like, because God is not, you know, somebody you can touch, something you can touch or see.
Okay.
With your eyes,
yeah.
But like, you know him in your spirit. You know, like when you pray to him and when you pray his word. And he speaks to you, and you can talk to him, but it's in your spirit. It's not like something that you can touch. You know, so you relate to him in a different way than you relate to me. But the relationship is the same. It's just somebody that you can't actually touch. You know, or hear with your ears. Like I haven't heard him with my ears. Maybe it's I haven't.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm trying to explain to her that there's another dimension that you can like find God in. You know, but I know it's a little bit tougher for younger kids. Right?
Sure. Yeah. But that's a, I mean, they still need to have that question answered.
But Nancy did say also that, you know, also she said, I think, you know, like your dad, you remember his voice, you remember what he sounds like, you remember what he told you, but if you're at school, you're away from your dad, he's not there with you to touch or hear, but you remember what he said to you in his words, remember what he gave you.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Something that's apart from the physical, I guess.
Okay. All right.
You know how sometimes we answer children like, he just is. You don't understand it yet.
Okay, he just is. Yeah, just believe it. Okay, yeah, that's another way, yes.
Take my word for it.
Is that going to fly with Jackson?
No, okay. No, it doesn't.
Now, how does that go? That's great. How does that go over with adults? They're going to say, well, have you heard from God? You seen God? I mean, this is a legitimate question, right? How do you know God? If you haven't heard him with your physical ears and you haven't seen him with your physical eyes, how do you know God? I think that's a legitimate question for all of us. And it's okay, we don't have to answer it today. There's not one question. Here's a canned answer for your friends or for whoever. But how about this group? What did you guys come up with? What did you guys talk about?
Oh, I think something I said kind of answers the question.
Okay, yeah.
I was saying, like, there's that one passage in the Bible where Jesus is talking about, like, what you have done to the least of them, or like to ones in need, you have done to me. So I was thinking, like, being on the receiving end of that, right?
Oh yeah, okay.
I can experience the goodness of God through like believers.
Oh, that's good. So you tangibly, because someone helped you,
right?
That you're on the receiving end of God helping you, and then that's how you say, hey, this is how I experience.
Yeah, so it's not like a seeing physically, but it's like experience.
That's getting someone knowing God, experiencing God. Okay, Bob.
So my response, my general response to that, my short answer would be, well, I need to read the Bible.
Okay.
I can't read his book, so I know of him.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But to know him personally, I need to experience him through, you know, ups and downs.
Yeah.
So I wanted to also say something to comment about what Cindy said also about, which was, I thought was great, like, how do you explain it? If you don't know it, like, you have to be able to explain it to, like, other graders to know it, right? So I'm thinking, oh, my first thought was, like, do they read stories, right? So, like, can you give me an example?
Of a story?
Yeah, like Santa Claus or whatever, right?
Okay, sure.
So, it's like, or someone real, right? Or an example gives all three that they've read about.
Oh, we just recently read about Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
So we can read about him, right? Stevie Wonder, in the same way we could read about God, right? But unless we meet him, we spend time with him, or have, you know, different experiences, we don't actually know him, we just know of him.
Right.
So in the same way, how my responsibility involved is someone to ask me, general responsibility, I read the Bible.
Okay.
I love him, but I know him personally through experience, life experiences.
For life experiences.
So I can apply, but I know him.
Okay. Okay.
It's applicable.
Okay, so there's a reading, there's an obeying aspect to it, right? And you're applying it. And that's how you would explain, say, this is how I know God, okay? Yeah. Anyone online? Did you guys have something that you want to share? Or you guys can just type it in. How do you?
I haven't seen God. Like with my physical eyes, but I think I heard him once.
Okay.
In my mind. This is maybe when my kids were young, maybe 10 years ago, or maybe even 15 years ago. I was kind of depressed that time because I was at home taking care of the kids only. And I was like a stay-at-home mom, and it's great, but I was kind of depressed just because I was just that. And then, so that time, it took a while for me to, it was a few weeks like that or a few months. Then I was at church one time. It was during worship, music worship. We were singing traditional hymns and maybe contemporary hymns, I'm not sure. And as the music was the band was playing and I was singing, and then I heard God, and God said, "You're doing exactly what I want you to do." Because at that time, at that moment, I was before hearing that, I was quite depressed. I was kind of just into myself and just kind of pitying myself. But when I heard God say that to me, it just like, oh, wow, did I hear that? But it was loud and clear in my mind. Yeah.
Wow. And when you heard that, what happened? What was the immediate response?
Well, immediate was like a surprise, because I never heard it before like that, or even remotely. And it took me, but I was happy I heard it. I was calm, and I took it in. I've always been thinking about it from time to time, and I shared it with my mom. But for me, it gave me a reassurance that whatever I'm doing at that time with the kids is what God wanted me to do. And of course, from since then, of course, you have good days, good periods of time, and sad periods of time, but I always anchored that in my heart. Yeah.
Thank you, Janet. Yeah, that obviously that is a very personal experience, and when God said that to you, it did something. Presumably, it's good, right?
It's very good. It's as good as you can get.
Yeah.
But for me, I always kind of play down, because you want to stay like, oh, am I good? What about tomorrow? Will I be what God wants me to do? You know, but it's very good. And that's why I want to share it.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, that is a great, that would be your response to this question, right? Anyone else?
Frank, I'd like to share about, have you talked to him? I think as I get older, I feel like I'm talking to him more and more. It's like even at work, right? When, you know, when I face problems, when I face a difficult patients, I feel I face a difficult situation. I always ask God to give me help me, you know, give me the wisdom and give me something to come out with. And I will, and somehow you always come up with a solution, and you know, and end up the patient is happy, and I praise God very often.
Oh, so you ask God, give me the words to speak.
Yeah, or the wisdom to solve the problem. And
yeah,
it always happens. It always
happens. Okay. So
I have to solve the problem then. I cannot just, you know, take it home and think about it. My type of work is I have to solve the problem now.
Yeah. So when you say that it always happens, in your mind, what are you thinking? Like, God, you answered me. You helped me.
Yes.
And what does that do to you? How do you feel?
I have somebody to depend on. And give me more confidence too. So, and it, I mean, almost most of the time it worked. So I always come up with something to help the patient.
Yeah. So it gave you confidence.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good word. Yes, great. Anyone else? No pressure.
Confidence in God.
Yes, confidence in God. Thank you for making that clear. You have confidence in God because He did something. He did it, right? So let me direct this question to Abraham. So Abraham names this mountain, I have seen God. He has provided. God has revealed himself. Basically, that's the gist of it. How did Abraham see God in this? The Bible does not say God descended in bodily form. How did he see God in this story? How did he know God in this story? Right, when it comes down to it, he must have experienced something, and he says, I'm going to call this mountain Jehovah Jireh, because gosh, this is where God was. This is where he provided. I'm going to call him Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, we're using this word Jehovah Jireh. It's in songs. It's in our worship songs.
He answered prayer, or like his need.
He what, Daniel?
He answered his need.
He answered his need. And what was his need?
To have an offering that's not his son.
And what action was going on as he's asking God? He answered his need. Remember we talked about in Hebrews, what was he exercising?
Faith.
He was asked. Exercising faith. I remember many years ago, I was asked to to lead worship. That's great. I knew all the songs. It was one problem. I didn't know how to strum. Okay? You know, for you guys who, for Daniel, he's like, eh. Strums are easy, but down, up, down. That was hard for me, believe it or not. For those who know how to strum, it's so easy, it's basic. I did not know how. For some, the person who's leading worship was ill, and I was the next person who can do something. And obviously, there was not many to choose from, because I knew how to hold a guitar and maybe a few chords. I remember asking, it was very simple. I said, God, I just need to know the up, up, down, down, up, down, up, just for tonight, just for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And immediately, I've never experienced it. Immediately, I went boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, it's like I've been playing it all. I mean, to someone else, like, oh, that's just coincidence. But to me, it's very personal. I know that I know, I know that I know there was a miracle, small one. I ask God, in fact, I need it right now because everyone else, it just comes natural, not for me. So I knew it was God, right? And I met him in that small moment. And guess what? I played it. Not only wasn't great, but it worked. Because if I did not know how to, it would be very, I would be a stumbling block during that worship service. But I was not. That's all I said. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I just need it just for this. You can take it away. He never did. I still know how to strum that. He never took it away. But prior, it was a before and after. Prior to that, I could not do it because I tried. It just did not work. After that, it was much easier. And I had more confidence, not in me, because I know I couldn't do it. It was very obvious. I had more confidence in God. But I believe, looking back, I exercised my faith. I said, God, you can do it. I need your help.
You know, I think for as Christians, when we first came to know the Lord and we hear the gospel, we know God's love, someone has shared that with us, we're moved and we accept it. Jesus, and then we know that we're saved, which is great. It's wonderful. It's a great feeling to know about God's love and to know that our life has direction, to know that life doesn't end here on earth. But I would say that as Christians, as children of God, we ought to desire to know God, to see him and to hear him, because he sees us and he hears us. Otherwise, it's just a figment of imagination and something we create out of thin air. That's what people don't understand. We should desire that. But what Frank just said is key here is without faith, no one can see God. Actually, Hebrew says that.
Yes.
So when you see God and when you hear God, it has to be with faith. Because actually, even if God were to display his might and visibly for people, people who don't have faith won't even see him. And that's the story we see in the scripture, whether it be in the Old Testament when the Israelites are being led out, or in the New Testament, people see Jesus. You will dismiss the person, you will dismiss the miracles, you will dismiss the power because you don't have faith. And so I think that that's something we should pursue. Now, Jesus is not here, but with faith, I know he was here, right? 2,000 years ago, and there's testimonies of that. Right, he came into this world physically. So I haven't seen him, but you know what? I want to see him, and I will see him. Right?
How do you know? With faith.
Yeah, that's what Scripture talks about. The hope that we all have is that one day we will see God face to face. For a moment, he's not here with us, but he went to heaven to prepare a place for us, and he will be here once again. That's what I'm waiting for. I want to.
Yes.
Right? And then the work of the Spirit is always with the ones God loves. Do we see that? You know, when we pray to God, it's not just us presenting our request. Does God hear us? Yes, he does. Does he speak to us? Absolutely. And some of you are sharing your experiences. How do we know when you hear a voice that it's God? Because you know God so intimately. I hear God when I read the scripture. And when I know more about the scripture, when there's things that are being said to me outside of scripture, I know that it's God's voice, or I know that's my own voice, because I know what God's voice sounds like already, like as I think it was Nancy that was saying that, right? But how do we know? Because the scripture is God's spirit-breathed inspiration, right, that speaks to us. I don't see God with my visible eyes right now, but like as I'm reading through scripture, especially in the Old Testament, you know, the way God's displaying himself to the believers. I was teaching Hebrews chapter 10 last week on Thursday morning for the Bible study. And as we're describing God's tabernacle on earth, And also how that's only a shadow of things to come in the worship of God. As you're going into God's word, literally, I'm in the presence of God. I'm seeing God.
Right.
Of course, that's in a spiritual sense, not visibly. But we can get to a place just like Isaiah did when he was brought before the throne of God, the throne room of God, and he sees God.
Yeah.
That is a true faith.
And this is why I think Abraham was able to say Jehovah Jireh.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I don't think, because he knows God, but something happened where he says, I'm going to name this mountain Jehovah Jireh because I truly saw him. Not in a way where I heard about him, but I truly saw him. I mean,
And he yeah. had the faith. See, that's the big, big part that a lot of people miss is I want to see God like Abraham did. Well, what did Abraham do to see God?
Yes. Pastor James is very passionate about this. He's good. Oh, he's leaving now. You just drop the mic and you leave.
You
can't do that. No, I'm just kidding.
I let you pick it up. I'm just like, go
okay.
ahead and tag in, tag out.
Okay, all right.
There's a lot in my head. I don't know how to get it out. But I'll start. Okay, so up to this point, Abraham knows God. He's been told promises, and he's been doing funny things along the way to self-fulfill the promise of God. At this moment, he saw the way to life, the way, the path forward. He
right.
saw and understood that. All of it made sense now at that moment. What he saw, like the covenant.
Right.
He knew God. He knew God's covenant. But you know, when you know that and you act a certain way, you don't fully have your faith, right? I think at this point he faithfully went up the mountain, did as God did, you know, acted as God had asked him to act upon, still not knowing at that moment when God provided the way, the path for it, new life. He saw it. He saw all of it. At least that's how I played out in my head. Like all that last day,
right.
Look at the mountain, look at, you know, like now, like, it's like, I get it now. I see it now.
Right.
I see that. Finally, it makes sense.
Yes.
I really see it.
I really, yeah.
Really.
It does a difference when you're like, yeah, I see it. When you really see it. When you see it, you're just like, oh God. When you really see it, I'm going to name this mountain Jehovah Jireh. That's very different. And as Nancy was mentioning, I mean, we're on this height going this way, but I felt that I had to share, like, you know, part of my fear in this whole faith thing is if I have faith and it doesn't happen, I fear I may be crumbled too. I think that's a natural, I don't know if people have that. Like, I'm gonna have faith for this and it doesn't happen. But then if you don't have faith for it, it'll never happen. Right? Abraham just went all in. He says, you wait here, me and my boy are gonna come back. Even though I carry my dagger, he went all in. It will happen. I'm gonna have faith in God. So when it happened, I mean, he put it on the line. That's why when it happened, he was like, Jehovah Jireh, right? I have to name this place Jehovah Jireh. So I kind of broke it down. I don't know if this is what Nancy is trying to say, but this is what Pastor James was mentioning earlier. Anything that's birthed out of faith and it comes to pass, God has revealed. The same thing. So I asked myself, if I just knew how to strum, and it's just natural talent, which is great, it's from God too, but I don't think God is revealing himself there in that way. I would not be sharing that story. I'm just like, I was born. And we all have different things, right? I'm like, it's just another day in paradise. That's a song, right? Yeah, it's just another day. But because the whole strumming thing was birthed out of faith in that small moment. And it came to pass right away. God was revealed to me at that moment. I'm like, oh, you are real. It just made me more confident. And these days I'm believing for more, but it seems harder. These are mountains, right? We talk about mountains, you know, say to this mountain, move into the sea. It requires much more faith. Faith can grow. But I guess Jehovah Jireh, this term is when both you and God see each other. Because God always sees you, but you don't see him. But when you see each other, that is, I think this is what this is Janet. When you share, when you see him and he sees you in that moment, it made a huge difference. She's so happy. And then that worship service was very different for her, I'm sure. Very different, that she'll never forget. That's because God saw her and she saw God at the same time. And I think we long for that moment. Does that make sense? Does that help? Like, you know, working through this?
Because without faith, right? So say it wasn't Abraham, say it was another shepherd.
Right.
Right? No faith at all, no, you know, worldly, non-believer. And hey, in the same situation, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I bring my kid up, I'm gonna kill him, right? Oh, there just so happens to be a ram there. And then this guy can say, oh, it's coincidence.
Right, it's lucky. Let's say for the other person, he wouldn't bring his, he'd probably bring another lamb.
Right.
Right, and he says, a ram? I got two now. Right. Oh, I'm so lucky.
Back up. There's no faith.
There's no faith involved, which is great. I mean, still a ram. The same incident would happen. But to him, it's not Jehovah Jireh. It's just another lucky incidental event in a mountain called Mount Moriah. That's where the mountain he was at. There's no difference. So the very same event can be either Jehovah Jireh or I was fortunate. Not bad. It's great to be fortunate, but I was fortunate. One, God is revealed. One is just, I am just blessed and fortunate. There's a difference there.
Well, I'm well prepared. Like, it was me.
Right. It was me. Yeah. Yeah. Or it could be, man, for the more arrogant people, it was totally me. You know, wherever I go, I just get so lucky because I have a favor. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's very different from God is revealing himself to me right now. Jehovah Jireh, he provided this, right? Yes. Very good. And, you know, God is always separating what is man-made. That's what he's been doing with Abraham and what is from him. Because when he separates the man-made stuff versus what he does, it opens our eyes and increases our faith in him, which is our confidence in him.
I love the fact that God is very intentional about not giving us everything we want. I love that fact.
I wish you just gave everything I want, but yes, very intentional.
The problem there is then you're gonna say, well, that's all me.
Oh yes. I have it already. Yes.
I have it already. I'm capable. I can do it. Me. Right? Then it becomes,
it's so easy.
If God had given me everything I wanted, why would I need God?
Why would you need faith?
Yeah. Right. But because that's what I love about God is, it's so hard going through the low, the valley, right?
Yeah.
Hard, but it's good because Because when you're in the valley, because typically when you're up here, you're at the peak, you're like, I don't need God. But when you're at, in the valley, that's when you feel, oh, I need God. But if we're constantly at the peak, we're getting everything we want, there's no, we don't need God.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that feeling like, oh, I got everything, why do I don't need Him? But God allows us to go through these valleys,
mm-hmm.
these hard times.
Right.
And it's good. Even though it's hard, it's good. Because that, that, may, that forces us to rely on Him.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the faith thing, the tension is always here, right?
Yeah.
On the downward, I mean, it's never here.
Correct.
That's, well, it's, I shouldn't say it's never here.
Well,
there's different types of tensions, right? Yeah, but this, this right here.
Because,
yeah.
The, and that's where faith, like, the maturity level, like, when you are here, when you're at the peak,
uh-huh.
and you can say, oh, it's, thank you, God. It's, mm-hmm. it's you, God, not me. That, I think that's maturity. Because when you're able to recognize, acknowledge mm-hmm. God in both the high and the low, not just the low,
yeah.
I think there's maturity there.
Yeah. Yes? She has something to say.
Yeah. So, you know, faith being very, I feel like we're, it's very multifaceted. It's like
mm-hmm.
so hard to explain it. But right now, I'm kind of camping on the idea between faith in God that He will do what He told you is going to happen versus faith in God when He hasn't even told you what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, mm. if there, I went over like the Hebrew passage, you know, faith, and there are, it's a mixture of circumstances where there are times when God said, I'm going to do this. And if you believe it, then take those steps, and here will be the outcome. Like the wall of Jericho, you're gonna
mm-hmm.
go around it, the walls are gonna come down, you're gonna go in. By faith, because they believe His word and His power, they did it. But when God just told Abraham, just go, go for what? Like, I didn't ask to be sent,
right.
I don't have a need to go. I don't, you know, nothing. It's not even a, oh, if I go, then I'm going to get some kind of a reward. There's like nothing after besides the command of just go. And, but that's faith in just, I guess, the character of God, the nature of God, the sovereignty, the goodness of God, just that kind of a faith where you're not putting your faith in an event that's to come, but you're just putting your faith surely on just Him, relationally. And, you know, kind of like to the point where Bob's like saying, you know, sometimes God doesn't tell us everything, because then we'll start putting our faith in the plan, you know, we'll get kind of stuck there, and then we feel like we don't really need to hear from Him anymore, or don't need it. You know, there's all that complexity, but just realize, you know, the conversation that we had with Jackson just like yesterday, sometimes we're like, Jackson, we're not going to tell you everything we're going to do today. Just, we're going to, sorry.
Yes.
I'm triggering him. But we just told him, we're going to just focus on what's next. And then, based on how that goes, I will tell you what's the next best thing. And it might change based on, you know, whatever. So we're like, if you trust that we're going to make the best out of this day, all you need to know is the next step, you know? And that's more of a test of like, do you trust us or do you trust the plan that we're gonna lay for you? So anyways, I just felt that,
yeah.
Yeah, faith is like, we talk about faith as if it's just like, there has to be something in front of us to like believe it, to go for it. But sometimes it's just, you just exist. Loving God, believing in Him, who He is, and then He just out of the blue will tell you something or command something or share something. And that leads to this moment of faith exercise. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah, like,
yeah.
I just realized some of the things that the
forefathers did. It wasn't like they had faith that God would do something, even like Sarah, like that faith that God would make her conceive the child. Like there wasn't at some point. So I don't know. Anyway, so I just kind of am distinguishing the what does it mean to exercise faith? Because I feel like it trickles down into multiple facets.
Yeah, that's a that can go. That's actually that you can go deeper into that between like faith and God's word, which He tells you, like Jericho, right? Which is good, but faith in God Himself.
Right.
That I don't know what you're going to do because you didn't say anything. That's even that's a next level. That's Abraham next level of faith. But I know I'm going to just trust that you're actually not going to do it. Make me do this. Kill my son. What? But God did say it. That's just, it's mind-boggling. But he trusted in God's character and his promises. He went backwards, right? Like, I don't know. Okay?
Because God didn't promise a lamb.
He
promised a sacrifice.
In fact,
right?
In fact, I'm going to, because I got to finish this.
Sorry.
He didn't promise a lamb. I don't like to leave things dangling, right? So sorry, I like to go, I know, Pastor Alex will go, he'll do 5 sessions. But it's not a lamb. I noticed this time too. What was it? You guys remember? It was not a goat.
A ram.
It was a Dodge.
Ram.
Dodge.
Ram.
Okay, so I'm gonna just, it was a ram. It was not a lamb. Which we always say, it's a ram, and I double, triple checked it. It's a ram, Dodge Ram. Why was it a ram? Why was it a ram? What's the difference between a ram and a lamb? Do you know?
The horn.
Huh?
The horn?
The horn? Devil. That's a goat too, right? Goat is a symbol for to 666. That's why they use goats like this all the time. That's bad. Anyways, ChatGPT knows, I'm sure, if you guys have it. What's the difference between a ram and a lamb?
Whether it was like old covenant sacrificial.
No, no, it's just a different. There's a difference. Just
are they different species?
Biologically, there's a difference.
Lambs are male.
Okay. Lamb can be a male too. Lambs are babies.
Young
person. Rams are full grown. It wasn't a lamb. So here's the thing. There is, I always like in the Old Testament, there's always Christology in the meaning this Christ in it. It wasn't a lamb. It was a ram. And it's foreshadowing the real, the Lamb of God, but the ram was a full grown male. Okay, Jesus was not sacrificed as a baby. I wonder why he wasn't sacrificed as a baby. He had to fulfill a lot of prophecy. He was a ram. And I thought that was very interesting. It was not a lamb, it was a ram. It's a full-grown adult lamb. And Mount Moriah, no one knows, but Mount Moriah is very close to Jerusalem. No one knows where Mount Moriah is now, but the closest understanding is that it's the same mountain or hill that Jesus was crucified on. In Jerusalem. Okay? God, everything is planned out. God is not only answering, revealing himself to Abraham. He's already saying, I will provide myself a full-grown male lamb, a ram, on this hill, in which he will take, it's my own son. You don't have to kill your own son, but I will kill my own son. On this hill, on this very hill, maybe 3,000 years later. Don't quote me on that. But when Christ comes, I'm going to sacrifice him on the same hill. Now, no one can say for sure, but it is within the study of scholars have agreed that this is a very likely possibility. It's within Jerusalem area. There's many hills, but that could be the hill. And I wouldn't be surprising if God did that, because God plans all this out for Jesus, the story of Jesus, right? Is that cool? That's very interesting.
Wow.
Yes.
I wanted to follow up on what Rev was saying.
Yeah.
And I also was thinking about this too during the week, past couple weeks. Like, as humans, people, we are by nature, hey, what do we get out of it? What's the reward? That's what I think. And like, what's the reward? What do I get out of it? I think that's just ingrained in us, okay? I think God wants to, like, we talk about faith in him, right? I think God wants us to get to a point of, I am the reward. I'm the reward.
Uh-huh.
What do I get out of it? You get me. You get God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, we want a reward. We want something.
Uh-huh.
But God is, I believe God is wanting us to, at some point, reveal to us that I am all you need. Not this job, not promotion, not what school, what, you know? All of these things that we're pursuing after. That's why I feel like it's, when I say it's good that, hey, it's good when we're at the valley. That's when we realize. And I think God ultimately is trying to strip us, take things away little by little, to build up our faith, our confidence in God. Because I think God's intention is for us to realize that he is all the world. He is the reward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are ingrained to be reward-based, you know.
Yes, that's so good. At the end of the day, he is revealed. If we see him, that's the reward.
He is the reward.
Yeah.
Right. But how do we get to that point by stripping us
little by little of all the stuff that we actually like and want?
Yeah. Right.
Good.
Little things. That's the trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll see it on this side of heaven, right? And that's when we go to heaven, when we see him, that's when, you know, that's in full blown. But that's not to say we don't strive for that, right? Oh, in our mind we think, well, we're never gonna get there on this side of heaven. Why do I even try? But no, that's not what God wants. God wants us to keep going, keep striving towards that.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob.
People can say, why even try? So we're not going to get it anyways. But I don't think God's going to. God wants us to try.
That's the faith part. Let's pray. Father, we want to be able to call you Jehovah Jireh, not because we're taught to, or it's something magical to say so that we can get what we want. But we pray that we may experience you more often, in this area. We may understand and experience your name, Jehovah Jireh, in a more real way. Ultimately, to be satisfied with you alone. Because so many things do encumber us in our minds and our flesh. And we need so many things in life. It's so hard to pull us, to be pulled away and just be satisfied with you alone. But in faith, we do pursue after you. We continue to, we cry out to you, Jehovah Jireh, so that you will provide. And as you provide for our needs, we will see that you are revealing yourself to us. And we have more confidence in you because we see more of you and we feel more of you. And we hear more of you. May that be our journey as we grow in our faith in you. And help us to always remember that all of this is to not for our own gain, but to understand that Jesus made it all possible, that the what is most important is that our faith is in your Son, Jesus Christ, and our salvation is secure. The story from beginning to end is all about your Son and what he did for us. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.